You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There was probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Time to find out what's going on in Spain and possibly Portugal as well today, actually. We'll start in Catalonia, and George is with us from El País. Good morning, George.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Very good, sir. So conflict in Catalonia, not necessarily the one we're thinking of to start.
Well, I'm about to say a sentence I thought I would never say, and that is there has been a political argument over medieval religious treasures this week. These religious treasures have turned into a political hot potato, and perhaps more just by timing and coincidence have become one of the central themes of the Catalan independence issue just at the moment. So for those of you who haven't been following this rather bizarre story, I'll just give you a quick update. We're talking about 44 religious objects which are being held in a museum in Lleida, which is a large town in Catalonia, a very nice town for those of you who have been there.
Mm-hmm.
And these religious treasures have been in Lleida for a number of years now, but they were set for removal back to Aragon. So, okay, I'm going to have to explain. I'll give you a little bit more background. Okay, so these religious treasures are originally from a convent in the region of Aragon, which is neighbours Catalonia.
Okay.
And they ended up in Catalonian museums after the nuns from this convent actually left Aragon and moved to Barcelona in the early 1980s for various reasons. The nuns decided to sell these artworks to the Catalan government and they found a new home. But a court decided in 2012 that the nuns had actually illegally sold several of these items to the Catalan government and that these items really belonged in Aragon and the Aragon government had first right of refusal on their sale.
Okay.
So the court made this decision and the deadline for the return of these religious items from Catalonia to Aragon was on Monday. Now, the problem is, of course, the political context. We have emergency powers in Catalonia at the moment because of the independence issue. These are these same emergency powers which saw the regional government sacked, the premier and the deputy premier sacked.
Yep.
And people in Catalonia are very tense. And they didn't take, and some groups didn't take kindly to the idea of a museum being stripped of these medieval treasures and these treasures being taken out of Catalonia and sent back to another part of Spain. So on social media, a notice did the rounds asking people to gather at this museum in Lleida and prevent or protest the removal of these religious artefacts.
Okay.
So this is all happening on Monday. So basically Monday morning, 8 a.m, all these pro-independence protesters are going to be outside this museum and they're going to say, please, you know, stop pillaging Catalonia and these items belong with us. Now, the authorities in Catalonia realised that they were basically looking at a potentially pretty nasty situation with all these people turning up at 8 in the morning. So the trucks that were supposed to pick up these religious artefacts were actually driven into Catalonia in the middle of the night and turned up outside the museum at I think, about 3 in the morning. The area had been cordoned off with police tape. There was a strong police presence, and basically under cover of night, the items were packed up and put into the back of a truck. And first thing in the morning, all the protesters turned up, and there were scuffles with police at that stage. And it all got a little bit hairy for a few minutes. Basically, the local arts chief came out even later in the morning and threatened reprisals for the removal of these objects, saying that Aragonese people who live near the Catalan border could see their access of Catalan health services, for example, be restricted. The currently friendly relations between the two regions were now under threat. Carlos Puigdemont, the sacked former Premier of Catalonia, came out on Twitter and said, "This is typical of Spain. They've used militarized police to conduct an operation which is aimed at looting Catalonia, and it's all very, you know, standard practice for Madrid and for the Spanish government." And, everyone's been left scratching their heads. I guess the issue is, Bill, whether or not this activity of removing these objects has anything, any sort of political angle, just by pure perception it has. So basically people in Catalonia feel that they're being abused again by the Spanish state. But, all very curious.
As someone who's been away for a few weeks, you alluded to the current situation there with Puigdemont. What is the current situation in a nutshell for me?
Okay, absolutely, sure. So the current situation is we've got elections coming up at the end of next week, December 21st. Mm-hmm. We have quite a large number of candidates either still in pre-trial custody on rebellion charges, or in the case of Puigdemont and his four fellow ministers still in Belgium, awaiting the results of the Spanish judicial system. Spain has withdrawn its European arrest warrant.
Yep.
So Spain is no longer asking Belgium to arrest Puigdemont because Spain is worried that Belgium will not want him tried on rebellion charges and will try and influence the criminal proceedings in Spain. So that's where we're at there. So basically, if Puigdemont was to turn up again in Spain, he would be arrested. But at present, he is in Catalonia and still a candidate, bizarrely enough, for the upcoming election.
Well, that's odd. So he's allowed to stand, and if he wins, he could get arrested the second he comes back into the country.
Absolutely right, which is also the case with his fellow ministers. So that, the Spanish government have been saying, well, if he's really serious about his political responsibilities, he will return to take up his seat in Parliament. So, yeah, we're all, you know, situation normal, as they say. Some of the former ministers have been released from prison, including one, Josep Bruel, who came out famously on Catalan radio and complained about the gassy food he's been given in prison. I shouldn't underplay it too much. He obviously got quite a nasty shock from his month in prison, but his tales of table tennis and bookbinding courses really didn't do him any great service, I don't think.
First world problems, eh?
Exactly, yeah, that's right, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Okay, we move on to Portugal now, and the Azores, actually, to be more specific, and a cocaine story.
Absolutely. We don't give Portugal as much coverage as we'd like to, although it's kind of within our remit at El País in English, as they're our neighbours. But, this is an odd story. I'm just going to draw your listeners' minds back to something they may have heard of, which is a novel and film called Whiskey Galore.
Oh, I remember it well.
Yeah, there you go.
It's every Scotsman's dream.
There you go, absolutely. So, Bill, Do you want to just quickly tell your listeners what the film was about?
Well, it's basically, wasn't it a shipwreck where a load of whiskey washed up on the shore and basically the public just helped themselves?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
50,000 cases of whiskey from a shipwreck on an island which had run out of whiskey.
Fantastic.
So this is an updated version of this. June 2001, a yacht carrying at least 500 kilograms of cocaine and probably a lot more of 80% purity is crippled in heavy seas off the coast of the Azores Islands of Portugal. Mm-hmm. To save the ship, the crew decides to drop some bales of cocaine into the sea.
Okay.
You can see where this is going.
Yes, yes.
The cocaine is blown ashore. News of this, the locals get wind of this, to use a bad pun, and there's a treasure hunt as they desperately rush to find this cocaine. Police manage to confiscate 400 kilograms,
wow.
But a lot of the rest of it gets out into the community, and what follows are some crazy and probably apocryphal stories,
yes,
of cocaine being used to coat mackerel by housewives,
oh,
or being stirred into, oh, morning coffee. But on a serious note, I mean, a lot of this cocaine has made it into the local community. There's obviously a serious problem in an island where cocaine has been expensive and only used recreationally.
Yeah.
To suddenly have high purity cocaine washing around. There's a collapse of the hospital system.
Oh, my goodness.
There's an estimated, none of this is official because the data at the time was so haphazard, an estimated 20 deaths from overdoses in the first 3 weeks.
Mm.
There's a public health warning blitz for that period with, you know, the local authorities desperately trying to tell people to be careful. Finally, there is a single arrest. One of the men on the boat turns up and is found. One of the men, a man from Sicily, Italy, Antonio Quinzi, is arrested and thrown into the only local prison from which he manages to escape on a Vespa. You can imagine, this is a small island, so there are not too many places to run.
No, I was going to say, he hadn't thought that through, really, had he? No,
no,
no, no.
2 weeks later, he's rearrested in a local barn. This is the part of the story I like most. This Italian then becomes something of a local legend after being transferred to the Portuguese mainland. And, you know, everyone on the island says they know this man or knew of this man. And according to local standards, when people talk about cocaine purity on the island, they still use the Italian as the measurement,
mm,
in kind of a way of honouring the memory of this single man who was arrested. So
yeah.
All of this story has not been told. It was basically kept under wraps for a long time, but a couple of Spaniards are now making a documentary about this saga, and I think that's going to be very interesting when it does come out.
Brilliant story. I can see why you thought of Whiskey Galore. What a great parallel.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes me want to go back and see the original film, which I've never seen.
Oh, you must do.
I absolutely must do.
Well, been a pleasure as always to talk to you. How do people find more about that and other stories?
Yes, you can find us on Facebook by Googling El Pais in English. That's ELPAIS.
Mm-hmm.
So Google us or Facebook us and you'll get news on Spain and sometimes Portugal.
Fantastic. Been a pleasure to talk to you, sir. Speak to you again soon.
Great. Thank
Cheers.
You, Bill. Have
Bye-bye.
A good day.
Bye-bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.